Ephesians chapter number 4, and we'll be going to Acts chapter number 2 in just a second. Let me read this passage, and then we'll pray. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you, my Heavenly Father, for this day. Lord, I thank you for the good singing. Lord, I thank you for the good spirit we felt this morning, Father. And God, I ask that you please just help us now, Lord, as we look into your word. Father, we acknowledge our inability, Lord. We know that without you, we can do nothing. And Heavenly Father, I ask that you just touch us, Lord, that you'd anoint us, God, that you'd give us the very words that should have to be spoken. I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you'd take the truths of your word, Lord, and God, that you'd accomplish upon the hearts of your people what you'd have done here this morning. God, we'll give you the praise and glory for it all, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Be good now.
Ephesians chapter number 4, I want you to notice something about verse number 3 before we turn. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Now, this verse gives us a few little truths about unity. Number one, unity is something that can be lost.
Of course, we're told to keep it. You don't tell somebody to keep something if there's no danger of losing it. Satan loves to disrupt the unity amongst God's people. Get us fussing, get us fighting, gossiping. I mean, we can just run through it all. There are good churches that have been destroyed, and you really get down to what caused it. It was a lack of unity. But unity is something that must be worked at. That word endeavoring, it means to work hard to achieve something. Unity in the church. Let me just say it this way. Unity in this church is not something that's just going to happen. It's just not. You know why? We have to work at it. We are imperfect people. We got problems. And you know what? We're going to have to work at it. It's something that requires effort if we're going to stay in unity. But why is unity so important? I mean, here we're told, God has commanded us, you work hard, if I could say it that way, to maintain the unity in the local church. Why? What's the big deal? Go to Acts chapter number 2. And I understand, and you know this as well, Acts is a transitional book, but there's some truths I want you to see about the Holy Spirit and when God's people are in unity. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. Says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Now we know this is the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. The church began, the Holy Spirit's coming. Sound from heaven is a mighty rushing wind. But before the Holy Spirit ever showed up, what do we see in verse 1? They were in one accord. We see unity. If the Holy Spirit is going to show up in our midst, there has to be unity. There has to be unity amongst ourselves. If God's going to show up in this church, we've got to be dwelling in unity. I've been in churches, and many of y'all have too, and the fact of it is dead. They got preaching, they got singing, they got teaching, they got everything a church is supposed to have, but there's one thing they don't have. They don't have the Spirit of God. They don't have the Holy Spirit moving and working, and they're going through the motions, and it is dead. It's dead as a hammer. And if I don't know, but if you were to get back to it, you know where the problem all stems from? More than likely, it's a lack of unity. Because when there's unity, God will show up. Look at verse number 3. It says, and there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Now, we know these tongues are languages, but I want you to see, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Go to chapter number 4. Verse 31 says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. When God's people are in unity, we see that God's, the Holy Spirit shows up, but you know what we see here? We see people getting filled with the Spirit. Both instances we see they were filled with the Holy Ghost, but you know what we see? They're in unity. Listen, when we're saved, we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. That's what we're given. I do not believe there's a second filling. You get God. But here's what you see right here. This being filled with the Spirit. Let me word this way. It's a renewed zeal, if I could word it that way. It's a renewed zeal for the things of God. The Spirit-filled man, he's zealous about wanting to obey the commands of God. There's something inside of a man that's Spirit-filled. If the Bible says it, I want to do it. Hey, if this pleases my Savior, that's what I want to do. He's Spirit-filled. The Spirit-filled also, it brings boldness. We see that in our text. We're not ashamed of what God's done in our life. Hey, the Spirit-filled man, he's not ashamed that his convictions are different. He's not ashamed that he lives his life by a different set of rules than everybody else. The Spirit-filled man is excited about the work of God. Hey, it's not a burden and a chore to the Spirit-filled man to come to church on Sunday. Hey, it's not a burden to him that, oh, Wednesday night, it's prayer meeting night. Hey, the Spirit-filled man, that's where he wants to be. You know what our young people need? They need to see some people that are Spirit-filled. They need to see some people that are excited about serving God, wanting to live their lives for the Lord, and they're excited about it. You know why I'm where I'm at today? And I'm not arrived by any means, but you know what? In my life, you know what I've been around? Some men of God that were excited. Some men of God that were Spirit-filled, that were excited about the things of God. And you know what it did? It caused me to want to do the same. Look at chapter 5, verse number 12, and I'll get settled down where I'm going here in just a second. It says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. They're in unity. There are miracles taking place. Now, we know it was through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we understand we don't have that today. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, there were great works being done. When there's unity, you see the working of the Holy Spirit. Do you know why a sinner can come sit in the house of God, hear the gospel message, and get up and smile and leave like nothing's wrong? You know why they can do that? No conviction. Amen. You know why a man, a believer, can live any way they want to, come in the house of God and sit and tell and just hear the word of God preached and just leave the same way they came? No conviction. Amen. See, I can preach to you this morning, the pastor. We can't touch the heart. It takes the moving or the working of the Holy Spirit to touch the heart of man. That's it. Our young people, there will be no salvation outside of the moving and the working of the Holy Spirit. And if we're not in unity, guess what? It's not going to happen. Hey, if we want a church where when sinners come in, they're convicted. Hey, they're uncomfortable to sit in the house of God. We want a church to where when somebody's out in the world and they're living that wayward life, they come in the house of God, that they're troubled. They know they're not right and they want to get right with God. It takes the working of the Holy Spirit. And the only way that's going to happen is God's people have to be in unity. The appearance of the Holy Spirit, the working of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and unity and this local assembly will go hand in hand. Now, if Satan, let me say this, we know Satan doesn't want souls to be saved. We know that the devil does not want those that are backslid to get right with him. So he's got to do something to keep that from happening. Now, here's what he also knows. It takes the Holy Spirit to do that. It takes the Holy Spirit to convict that heart. It takes the Holy Spirit to draw that back. He's got to come up with a plan that he can keep that from happening. What do you think it is? Destroy the unity in the local church. He's going to do that by attempting to destroy our unity. It is vital for God's people to dwell in unity. If there's no unity, there's no working of the Holy Spirit. And the spiritual success of this church, let me say to you, the salvation of our loved ones, you know what it's going to come down to? By us working hard, endeavoring to maintain unity in this local assembly. Unity is not something, it's not going to happen by its own. We have to work it. That's why Paul said endeavoring to keep the unity. We've got to work at it. It takes effort on our part. And here's what I'll look at just for a few minutes this morning. I want to give you three little principles that we've got to have if we're going to maintain unity. If we're going to stay in unity with one another, there's some things we need to recognize. Number one, we've got a common problem. We've got to recognize we've got a common problem. We all have the same spiritual enemies, every one of us. We've got self, our flesh, that desires to control our lives. Flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. Every day, we have to battle for our flesh. Here's what I know. I know I need to read my Bible and need to pray. My flesh is telling me, go sit on the porch. My flesh is telling me, go watch TV. It's just a daily battle for control with my life. We've got society that wants to conform us. The world, society, is continually putting pressure on us to accept their philosophies and their standards. The world continually pushes sodomy. They continually push immorality. Here's why. Because they're pressuring us to accept it. That's why they do it. They're pressuring us to dress and live by their standards of morality instead of God's standards. That's what society's doing. And then we've got Satan. He wants to conquer you. Bible describes a roaring lion seeking about whom he may devour. He wants to destroy our life. Everything about my life he wants to destroy. He wants to destroy my home, my children. He wants me to lose my job. He wants to see me in a gutter somewhere. You look at what he did to Job. I mean, he took away, and had God permitted him, he took his life as well. Satan wants to destroy us. But here's what I want to say. We have three common enemies, and they're all working together to do one thing in your life, to cause you to sin. That's what they're doing. They want you to sin. Because sin destroys our lives. Here's what else sin does. Sin destroys unity in the church. Every one of us in here, if you're saved, here's something you still have to deal with. You still got to deal with sin. None of us are perfect. We're talking about Sunday school. As long as you're breathing, you're going to have that flesh that you've got to deal with. But here's the thing. Some sins are easier to see than others. Unfaithfulness is much easier to identify than bitterness in somebody's heart. I mean, hey, brother so-and-so, man, he looks for any reason to miss church. But then we got heart issues that nobody sees. Open disobedience to the Scriptures is a lot easier to recognize than pride. My, did you see how Sister so-and-so was dressed? And nobody can see that we're eat up with pride on the inside thinking we're better than somebody. And here's what happens. Instead of getting broken over it, we get angry. And here's what happens. We see somebody that the enemy's destroying, if I could set that up. We see somebody that's just going the other way. And here's what it does. It hurts us. We're hurt. We're disappointed in the choices they make. But it's easier on us, instead of being broken in heart, the heartache and the brokenness that we should have, you know what? We'll just get angry. And we'll start thinking that we're something we're not. Here's what we do. We see somebody that's living contrary to the Word of God, and we view them as rebellious instead of viewing them as a casualty. You know what they did? They fell victim to the enemy. My, the enemy got them. That unfaithful member, many times they're not unfaithful. If you could see the depths of their heart, you know what? They really want to be there. But here's why they're unfaithful. The world's got them. They fall and pray to the world. That believer that's living contrary to the Word of God, hey, it may not be that he's just openly rebellious. It may be the devil's blinded his eyes. You know, it could be the fact that he's just fallen victim to the devil and he don't even realize what he's doing. Unity's disrupted. This sounds harsh. I'm just going to say it. Unity is disrupted in the church because some sins are obvious. And we look at those, and here's what we do. We start looking down upon them. We start thinking, hey, they're unfaithful, and you know what? I am faithful. I'm up here, and they're struggling. I'm spiritually, I'm better than they are. Here's the thing. Their hearts are eaten up with pride. There's bitterness in our heart. You can just run through all things that could be in our hearts that nobody knows about. And see, we see their sin. We see because it's open. But here's what happened. God knows where we're at. God sees everything. We're all sinners. We're quick to point out the faults and failures of others and forget that we each have our own. You know what would help to promote unity? If we get the beam out of our own eye instead of worrying about the mote and the others. Hey, if I went to Dre and said, Dre, I want you to know, I've not read my Bible all week. I've not prayed. I've not witnessed anybody in 2 weeks. I've had some of the most wicked thoughts come through my mind. Did you notice how Jimmy wasn't at prayer the other night? Did you notice Jimmy's unfaithfulness? You know what he'd do? He'd get mad, wouldn't he? He'd think, man, how dare you? With the problems you have, how dare you point out somebody else's? What do you think God sees in us every time we're quick to say something about the bread? Oh, so-and-so wasn't here, and so-and-so did this, and they're doing that. And the whole time, God knows what we got hidden in our heart. If we'd deal with our own issues, we wouldn't be so quick to want to point out everybody else's. We've been commanded to keep unity in the church. And here's what I'm getting at my first point. If we're going to do that, here's what we have to recognize. We're all sinners. We all have the same enemies. We all have the same battles and the struggles. And what may be a battle for you may not be a battle for somebody else. What's tearing them up and destroying their life, that may be something. You may have victory over that enemy, but you got other enemies waiting to take you down. We ought to be broken. Here's what we should be. Instead of seeing somebody that's struggling and thinking, you know what, man, at least I don't do that and I don't do this, we ought to be broken. Hey, we ought to be broken over the fact that the enemy came in these doors and took one of our own captive. We got a common problem. If we're going to have unity, we ought to recognize that. Nobody's arrived. We all struggle. We all have our faults and our first. But then there has to be a common passion or love. Ultimately, we know we're to love the Savior. We're to love Him supremely. And let me say this, when you take time and meditate upon His goodness and His mercy that He's bestowed upon us, it's not hard to love Him. I mean, somebody give us eternal life, provide for us, protect us. Just go through your life at everything He's done for you. The handful of purpose that He's just kicked off in your life and didn't deserve nothing. But He just want to be good to you because you're His son. He's easy to love if we just meditate on the right things. We got to love the Savior. We got to love the sinner. We know we're to love sinners. Here's what we do a lot of times. We fail to see the sinner for their sin in their life. And you've heard all this. And when we look at the addict and we're blind to the fact that deep down that's just a soul crying out for help. We look at that one that's struggling with their appearance, the piercing, just how they're dressed, and we can't get past that to realize that's just a lost soul seeking something. They're crying out for help. God loves sinners, and if we're going to be right with God, we got to love sinners. But then we got to love the saint. We're to love one another. And we could flip over and read 1 John. You can't be right with God without loving one another. But love affects our unity. Have you ever heard of a church split over the fact that some people love God too much? I'm just saying, have you ever, man, we left that church. They just love God too much. We didn't want to be up there. You never heard it. You ever heard a church splitting because they love sinners? Man, we quit that church. All they wanted to do is share the gospel and get people saved. Never have you? But you know what we've heard churches split over? God's people not loving each other. We want to maintain unity. We got to work at why? Because we need the Holy Spirit to be able to move, to convict hearts, save souls. And if that's going to happen, we got to love each other. We've already established we have a sin problem. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covereth all sins. That's Proverbs 10:12. Listen, and I'm not condoning sin, but you know what? We don't have to run people on the ground. We all struggle. Have you ever watched parents with their children? Here's what's going to happen with Jenna in about 8 months to a year. She's going to come in here one Sunday and she's going to be screaming and she's going to be an absolute bear. And you know what Tori's going to do? She's going to smile. She's teething. Kelly used to do it all the time for our kids. I mean, why? Because that's what a mother does. Kelly could call my mom. I'm 50 years old. She could call her and say, man, your son's been an absolute bear to live with. You know what mom's going to say? Well, he's got a lot on him. Here's what a mother does. She always has an excuse to justify why her children aren't doing what they're supposed to. And it don't matter if you're 8 months old or you're 50 years old. Why? Because they love them. They love. We always think the best of our children because of love. We don't want, hey, when you love your children, there's not a parent in whose children don't have problems in some way. But you know what? We don't want nobody to know it. We don't want to embarrass them. We don't want people to know what their struggles are. In fact, we do just what we say whatever to try to cover it up. You know what? If we loved each other right, that's what we'd be doing with one another. 1 Corinthians 13. You don't have to turn. I mean, we're just saying you see that love's essential. Paul said, without love, I'm nothing. If I have not charity, I'm nothing. Love is evidence. Notice what's... Let me just flip over. We got time. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. Paul said this latter part, verse 2, says, and have not charity, I'm nothing. Love is essential. If you don't have love, you've got nothing. But then look what he says. You see love evidence. Look at verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. That's the evidence of love. We see love's endearing. And we'll talk about this in a minute. Look at verse 8. Charity never faileth. You'll never go wrong loving somebody. When our love is right, here's what happens. We think the best of people instead of the worst. Here's what happens in many churches. Because of a lack of love, because we've got disappointed in somebody for whatever reason, because of a lack of love, we sit and we like to talk about their shortcomings and their failures. And we camouflage it as concern. My, have you heard? We need to pray for brother so-and-so. They've got marital issues going on. Well, I'll call so-and-so and I'll get them praying too. You know what? If we truly loved them right, you know what? We would be trying to hide their issues. We'd be trying, hey, we'd pray for them. We want people to pray. Here's what we should be saying. Hey, we need to pray for brother so-and-so. They just need our prayers right now. You don't have to tell them why. You don't have to run them down and try to just blow their... Hey, they've fallen victim to the enemy. The enemy's gone. We don't have to tell the world about that. If we love them right, we'd want to hide it. Here's why we like to talk about people's problems. It gives our flesh a sense of superiority. We get a false sense of spiritual superiority that, hey, look how their home's falling apart. My home's not falling apart. My home's doing good. You know what? We're eat up of pride. We're quick to talk about them because it makes us get our eyes off of our own problems. And we're looking at everybody else's. And listen, we're not condoning sin. I'm not saying that. But you understand what I'm saying. We don't have to air everybody's dirty laundry. Ephesians 4:32 says this, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Mike, when you see somebody struggling and everything they got going on in their life, just start thinking how you've offended, disappointed. Man, Brother so-and-so, he's really disappointed me in how he's done. How have you disappointed God? God showed you mercy. God forgave you. Why can't you forgive your brother? We got to be building each other up, not tearing each other down. Here's what happens. When we start wanting to talk about one another, here's what it really reveals, that we got a love issue. You can't be right with God if you don't love the brethren right. And here's the thing, some people are challenged to love. I mean, we got different personalities. Some people are meek and quiet and just whatever. Yes, yes, sir, thank you. You got other people that they're just... They're quick-tempered. They're fiery. I mean, this church, we've got 76 people on the board. They're 76 different personalities, just about. I can promise you that. And you know what? It's a challenge. But if we love one another right, you know what? We can maintain unity, even though we've got different personalities. And if there's no unity, there's no moving of the Holy Spirit. Children ain't getting saved. Our lost loved ones aren't getting saved. We're not seeing people filled with the Spirit. If we're going to maintain unity, we recognize we have a common problem. We have a common passion or love, but then we have a common pursuit. We've got to have a unified effort in promoting the cause of Christ. were to sow to the sinner, that we got a world that we've been told to evangelize. Would you not agree with me that it disrupts unity when you got part of the church is trying to fulfill the Great Commission and the other part don't care? Hey, this group over here, they're sacrificing, they're giving to missions, they're witnessing, they're handing out tracts, they're doing everything they can. This side over here, they don't do nothing. They ain't getting my money. I ain't handing out no tracts. They want to hear, they can come to church and hear. What's that do? It disrupts unity. We're to sow the seed, we're to strengthen the saints. We're to encourage, we're to set godly examples. We're to proclaim truth, all in attempt to what? To strengthen the child of God. Our young people, you know what? We're to be giving them truth and setting godly examples for them to follow. You know what disrupts unity? When you got, I'm going to use you again, you got one group that's setting a godly example. We're living right, we're doing right. And you got this group over here that's going down a different path in life. And here's our young people right in the middle. And you know what they can do? They can pick. They can pick what kind of Christian they want to be. Shouldn't be that way. It disrupts unity. Here's what we have over time. We've got a church and church members with mixed standards and mixed convictions. There's no unity. We see sowing to the sinner, strength of sacrifice for the Savior. Our life belongs to God. We've been bought with a price. The life of a servant's the life of sacrifice. Our lives are to be centered around the church. That's how it's supposed to be. If part of the church is serving the Lord and part sacrifice and all those things we talk about, and the other part's not, you know what it results in? Number one, it results in discouragement. By your lack of participation, here's what you're sending the message that we don't care. I mean, that's just what you're doing. We had our evangelistic meeting a while back. We met for 30 days, praying it for an hour every night. Over the pastor gave the list of lost family members, lost church members, lost family members, people that are going to hell. And so we sacrifice our time, our energy, our effort. We come out here, we pray for an hour, for a month, for 30 days. And some of the very people that had their names, family's names on the list don't even come. Now, you can pray at home. And the fact is, we're not coming for that. We're coming to pray and touch God. But here's what the devil does. He takes that, and here's what he starts telling you. Why are you wasting your time praying? They don't even care. Well, that's their family. They're not even coming and praying. You've sacrificed 30 hours last month to come out here and lift up their lost loved ones in prayer, and they don't even care enough to show up. That's what the devil tells you. And we know that our efforts aren't vain. We know that is not the reason we're coming. But what is the devil always trying to do? Disrupt unity. And so that's what he's throwing in you. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care. Why should you care? Why should you try if nobody else is trying? That's what the devil does. And here's what happened. We know it's wrong. We know it's wrong. We know that what we're doing is right. But because we hear that over and over, here's what starts happening. That discouragement turns into strife. All of a sudden now, you know what, you find yourself getting angry. You find yourself, hey, you show up to pray, you show up for whatever's going on, and here's what you're doing. So-and-so here. Man, are they here? They didn't come today. They're not here today. And here's what's happened. We're discouraged, and all of a sudden now, we get angry. And then you're sitting on the pew, you can't even worship God. You can't even focus on what God's wanting to do in your life because here's what's going through your mind. We're so-and-so. We're sister so-and-so. Hey, what? They should be here. We come to church. We're faithful. Why ain't they faithful? All that is the devil trying to. And so now we went from being discouraged to now that strife. And you know what results in? And the end result, we get bitter hearts. Smile, shake their hands, and in our hearts, here's what we're thinking. I don't even care if you're here or not. I don't even care anymore. We get bitter. And you know what's happened? We've lost unity. We've lost our unity. And you know, it goes both ways. We're looking at people. Did you know the unfaithful get bitter toward those that are doing right? Hey, they get upset and bitter over the fact that you're just at church. All they want to do is go to church. You ever heard that one? Man, it seems like you just have to go to church all the time. I don't have to do anything. I'm here because I choose to be here. I love the Lord and I want to serve Him. But it goes both ways. Church, here's what I'm saying this morning. We cannot get bitter at one another. We can't, listen, we're to serve the Lord. You know what? If nobody else does it, you know what? I purpose in my heart, that's what I'm going to do. Is it discouraging when others don't? When they send a message, hey, I don't really think it's important because I'm not here? Absolutely. But you know what? I'll get over it and I'll keep going. I'm not going to let it tear me down. I'm not going to get bitter over it. God be my helper. I wonder how many sitting here this morning, if you'd be honest, you're bitter towards somebody. You're upset over the fact that somebody has fallen victim to the enemy. You're upset over the fact that the choices they make don't line up with what you think they should be doing. Disrupts unity. Here's what's happened. You're allowing Satan to use you to disrupt unity in the church. The faithful member, the one that's here, the one that does everything, now you're a tool of Satan that he's using to disrupt unity. Because if he can get the unity destroyed, you know what? God can't move and work like he wants to. Here's what we got to have, and I'll be finished this morning. We need a moving and a working of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in this church. Only the Spirit of God can bring conviction upon the heart of a sinner. Nothing. I could get up here, I could proclaim the gospel message for the next 3 hours. And you know what? It'd do nothing if God don't touch it. Only the Holy Spirit is going to be able to restore fellowship with that wayward saint. That's it. We can do it, give encouraging words. We can say whatever we want. It takes the Holy Spirit. That's all that's going to work. And without unity, here's what's happening. We're hindering Him working. A lack of unity will hinder God from accomplishing what He wants to in this church. And here's all I'm saying this morning. If we're going to maintain unity, here's three things we got to remember. We got to remember we all struggle with sin. There's not one person sitting here that's arrived. You're not above anybody. If you're not, life is not in the shape theirs is in, let me tell you why. God just showed you mercy because we're all capable of being anywhere. We're not better than anybody that's struggling. Hey, God's helped us make good choices with our life. You know what? They're falling prey to the enemy. Pray for them. Lift them up. Help them. Remember, we got to love one another. We cannot bite and devour one another and expect to have unity. Listen, I'm a man that is riddled with faults and failures. You could sit back there and you could point out everyone and you could absolutely destroy me. And I could do the same thing for you. But what have we accomplished? All we've done is fallen and done exactly what Satan wants us to do. Bite and devour. There's no unity. God's not working. And we've got to remember we've been given a task to accomplish. We've been given a work. And it's for every one of us. It's not just a few. The Great Commission is for all of us. And it disrupts unity when you got just one group that's working and the other that's not. Your life, you could be discouraged. Fact is, you can be a discouragement to people and not even realize it. Just because you're busy, I don't do this, my life is over here. Many times the devil will take that and use it to discourage others that are trying to do something. Here's all I'm saying this morning. It takes unity on all of our parts. You know why? Because we have to work at it. It's not going to happen. If we just go the natural flow, here's what we'll do. Just what I said, we'll bite and devour each other. We'll pick each other apart because when we start attacking others, it's just what I said before, we start feeling better about ourselves. We don't have to deal with our problems. Hey, I can overlook the pride in my heart because we can look at so-and-so's unfaithfulness. Hey, I can overlook this issue in my life, the bitterness, the covetousness, and you know what? We're going to focus on so-and-so for not doing this. You know what God sees? Just what I said. He sees our sins as well as He sees theirs. God sees it all. Here's what I'm asking you this morning, church. Will you do your part to maintain unity in this local assembly? Is there something wrong? I don't know. But here's what I know. I know how the devil is. I know he's going to attack. He wants to destroy unity. And here's what you got to say. Am I going to let him? Are you going to look at that one that's struggling and just think, hey, man, I don't do that? Or are you going to look at them with the mindset, you know what, the enemy's getting them right now? Hey, I need to pray for them. Hey, I love them. Hey, I'm not going to broadcast their problems. I'm going to pray for them. Have you ever thought about this? We spend so much time talking about people's problems, but we never take them to God in prayer. I mean, we'll just sit around and just talk about this, and this person struggles with this person struggles with that. Why don't we take that time and spend it in God, to God, lift them up in prayer for God to help them? He's the only one that can help them. Church, here's all I'm saying. The devil would love to destroy this church. Not a doubt in my mind. And he'll do it through trying to destroy unity amongst us. We got to love each other. We got to help one another. We got to overlook each other's faults many times. Why? For the sake of unity. Suffer wrong. Jesus, that's Christ-like. He suffered wrong. Take the wrong sometimes. But here's our mindset. It's all about maintaining unity. Let's stand this morning. Maybe there's, I don't know what God's doing for this. Maybe there's somebody here this morning. Here's what you'd have to say. I've got some issues with some people. Hey, I've got some issues in my heart I need to be dealing with. And I'm focused on everybody else's. I don't know what God's doing with this, but this is what God gave me. I ask y'all just bow your heads. If you need to come pray this morning, you come.